Welcome to Pirate Money Radio with your host, Kevin Freeman, helping you unpack the economic headlines and providing real money solutions.
Hey, we just experienced the 4th of July with a strange mix of celebration, apprehension, domestic disdain. Somehow too many of us have forgotten the miracles that made America. The hand of God has been on this nation from the beginning, despite our weaknesses, failures, and mistakes. Yes, there are things wrong with America. In some senses, we're improving, and in others, we're regressing. But compared to history and compared to every other nation on this planet, we are a remarkable country. And yet, we remain one nation under God. The challenge that we have is that patriotism and love of country seems to be the strongest among the older generations, which seem to be dying off. You know, it kind of happens that way. Yes, Charlie Kirk and others have reached younger people, but there are recent converts politically, and they don't necessarily share a lifelong love of America. That's a problem, and it's up to us to address it. And joining me is my dear friend, business partner, and co-host of Pirate Money Radio, the amazing Mike Carter. Welcome, Mike.
Hey, well, happy post-4th of July. I'm glad that we were able to actually celebrate freedom and just some great wins that we've had out there for economic liberty and so forth this year. I was encouraged.
Yeah, it is encouraging. It's also discouraging. Did you see that Los Angeles canceled their 4th of July celebrations?
I did. And I didn't focus on that this 4th of July, but it is something that we need to talk about. And so I was glad to see kind of the notes today on the show, you know, what's really happening out there.
Yeah, and it's a problem because young people have gone through, well, I mean, think about it. We had 9/11 and that had a big wave of patriotism, but there was then a pushback. You know, America can't export its cultural ideas and everything else. Then we had the 2008 financial crisis. The world blamed America in large part for that. And then, you know, we had COVID, and we got blamed a lot for that, even though it wasn't our responsibility or fault. And young people have been through an incredible amount of challenges. It's hard for them to be ultra-patriotic.
Well, it's that, and it's the agenda that's been orchestrated with, you know, the Communist Manifesto kind of stuff that's taught in schools and culture and everything else. So all things we address in the war room consistently, but unless, you know, our generation and parents are teaching that to their kids, we're unfortunately losing it. I don't see that melting pot. I remember being, I think it was second grade, second or third grade, and talking about America and the melting pot and what made America great. I'm not convinced we're getting that in most of our schools today.
No. In fact, we're getting the opposite, and we're going to talk about that. You know, there is still a spark of patriotism here, but we're going to have to let that spark be like a sparkler and use it to light some fireworks so that we can get some attention. Yeah, speaking of fireworks, do you remember as a kid what we would do with fireworks?
Well, you know, all the things that cause you to blow out your eye or blow a finger off, that kind of stuff?
Or? Yeah, do you remember shooting bottle rockets?
Well, I remember that because I had one of the biggest 4th of July celebrations. Back in my Tulsa days, the neighbor kids, had a whole bag of fireworks. And so they went out in their front yard to set off this thing. They set off that first bottle rocket, which went right directly and hit that bag, and everything went off at once. And it was like,
oh, wow.
This is before
nobody hurt?
This is before 9/11. Nobody hurt, but we were diving behind cars. I mean, stuff was going everywhere. But I'll always remember that 4th of July.
Yeah. Well, you know, bottle rockets, you think about it, we now have plastic bottles, but it used to be those little mini Coke glass bottles, and you'd shoot the bottle rockets out of that, and we would have bottle rocket wars. How insane was that? I remember my friend Eric Davidson shared with me when he lived in Japan. He noticed that everybody was playing with fireworks. Even little kids were playing with fireworks. And he was like, you know, in America, we actually have gotten enlightened. And so we actually regulate fireworks, and we don't allow them to be shot off like that. And they looked at him and said, in America, you have guns, right? So it's a cultural thing that, you know, we've had some great memories.
Well, I changed wardrobes. You know, it's kind of sad when you got to dress for radio. So I'm not wearing my traditional Pirate Money shirt today. I thought
I noticed that.
At least find something with a little bit of red, white, and blue, and let that, some of that patriotism wear off again. So I pulled out my NSIC shirt. It's like, this is going to work.
A National Security Investment Consultant, where we help people be patriotic in their investing
exactly.
to promote liberty, security, and values. That's great. Excellent. Hey, unfortunately, to too many people, the 4th of July has become just another day off work. In fact, I think this year, in some quarters, there were more celebrations of Juneteenth than the 4th of July, which is kind of sad. Interestingly, Star Parker, who's a dear friend, been a friend for many years, she was on The View, believe it or not, but Star Parker is an amazing, amazing lady. Here she was. A welfare mom, and she got the gospel. She came to Jesus, and she learned about America, and she's become, you know, a real leading voice in how do we take America back to truth, especially in minority communities, but really across the board. I got this email. It says, per polling just released by Gallup, only 58% of Americans now say they're extremely proud or very proud to be an American. When they first asked the question in 2001, 87% were extremely proud or very proud. So it's gone down from 87% to 58%. Digging deeper, most of this precipitous drop is attributable to those identifying as Democrats. We're not trying to be political. We're just stating facts here. From Gallup, in 2001, 90% of Americans said they were extremely proud or very proud. In 2025, 92% of Republicans say they are extremely proud or very proud. So it's actually gone up among Republicans. In 2001, 87% of Democrats said they were extremely or very proud. Well, that's almost identical to what the Republicans were. But in 2025, only 36% of Democrats say they are extremely or very proud of their country.
Yeah, I saw that in the news the other day, and unfortunately, it doesn't surprise me, but again, that's that that division that we see and the narratives that we see in different parts of media where everybody hears on one station, hey, everything's bad about America, and another one, hey, here's what's good about it, but we're not getting, we're not standing together like we were. We're not as united as we were, and that was predicted, as you've done in your economic warfare studies. Russia said we're going to break apart. Unfortunately, it appears those things are actually happening.
They've been very effective. The KGB plot has been very effective. And, you know, we documented back to where in the 50s the KGB said they would tear America apart this way. But it is interesting to note that among Republicans, it never dropped below 84%. One might think, well, if Trump is in the office, then I'm proud of America. But it was true when Biden was in office, when yeah. Obama was in office, they've never dropped below 84% in the last 25 years. Here's another thing, shocking, came from PragerU. By generation, all U.S. adults, and this kind of matches the study from Gallup, 52% of all U.S. adults are proud of our country, 73% of baby boomers, 54% of Gen Xers, 36% of millennials, and only 16% of Gen Z. Now, that's a problem because those who are most patriotic are have the shortest remaining lifespans.
Yep.
Those with the longest lifespan have the most to lose or win from this country. They're not very patriotic.
No, no. And it's time that we get the messaging out of what America really stands for and what that's really about and close those wealth gaps and things like that where people are not seeing equal opportunity out there. And those are the types of things we talk about every week on this show.
Yeah, well, we've got one more statistic. This one, first we hit Star Parker and Gallup, then we hit PragerU. Now here's Wall Street Journal. Same message. Patriotism has sharply declined from 60-some percent to under 40% currently. But it's coinciding with a decline in religion, having children, which is a family, and being involved in the community. The one element that's risen from 1998 through 2023, according to the Wall Street Journal, the one element that has risen was money is an extremely important value. So people have abandoned patriotism, religion, family, and community, but they want money. All right, that's what we're going to be talking about here on Pirate Money Radio. I think the basic issue is fairness. People don't see the opportunity in America that right. they used to see, and as a result, they've been turning away from America.
Yeah, and it's Well, we got some solutions, so let's get into those.
Yeah, well, we'll have solutions. How can we get young people patriotic again? Let's bring back fairness. And one way to do it, you'll learn right here on Pirate Money Radio just after this break.
Welcome back to Pirate Money Radio with your host, Kevin Freeman.
Yeah, we're talking with the great Mike Carter, talking about why aren't people patriotic anymore? Why are young people in particular, why are Democrats in particular, why are people turning away from religion and patriotism and family and community? What are they turning to? What was the one thing that went up in that Wall Street Journal?
The money, which is, you know, unfortunately we've become so materialistic and we're forgetting about the values that really make things great. And even you talk to people with money. That solves a lot of problems, but it doesn't make them happy.
It does not make them happy. And in reality, that is maybe not the real issue. Maybe the issue is fairness. Mm-hmm. Do I really have opportunity? And I saw something really interesting. Well, I've known this for a while. Immigrants who come here with the attitude that I want to promote family and religion and community involvement and patriotism, we love America, it's a great opportunity. They do very well here.
Mm-hmm.
And you can think of the Korean community or the Vietnamese community or so many communities. Well, one of them that stands out in particular is the Nigerian Christians, the diaspora of Nigerian Christians coming here. They seem to have found great success. I'm going to read from Washington Examiner. Nigerian Americans have done particularly well with average incomes that are actually higher than that for the U.S. population as a whole. 76% of adult Nigerian American population is in the labor force, compared with just 65% of the U.S. population. More than half of Nigerian Americans hold professional or managerial jobs, compared with 36% of the U.S. population. More than 60% of Nigerian Americans over the age of 25 have at least a bachelor's degree, compared with 30% of the U.S. population. Why would an unskilled Nigerian American earn 16 times as much as an identical worker in Nigeria? Why do you think that is, that they do so well here?
Well, because they understand that it is the land of opportunity. They understand it. If it is to be, it's up to me. I'm not waiting for a handout. And now I have the freedom to actually go out and produce and make a difference out there.
Yeah, they're comparing. Here I am in Nigeria and things aren't going so well for me and I don't have opportunity. They come to America and it's enormous opportunity. Mm-hmm. But the young people that are born here, and you could be a fourth generation Nigerian, for example, and you might go to school here regularly and be told, there's no opportunity in America. It's always unfair. And what are you going to do? Get disheartened and give up?
All the time. And you know, again, we don't realize what we have. My brother-in-law is from Romania. He grew up Christian persecution, so all of that happened. Very talented guy. Built a company, sold it for a lot of money, and he's looking at what's going on in America today. He says, "You Americans don't understand what they have here. I mean, they're letting it go." And if you see the other side, if you live the other side without freedom, that's where it becomes a stark contrast. But unfortunately, we've been living so good for 250 years. We've become kind of fat, happy, and dissatisfied now. And now's the time to make sure that we really get that message out of what does America really stand for?
It truly is an attitude issue, whether or not you have hope. And if you're a believer, if you're Christian, and that has a lot to do with its diaspora from Nigeria, yeah. A lot of them are Christians. I contrast that with the whole the psychology experiment. You put a bunch of monkeys into a pen and leave the top off, and you squirt them with water every time they try and climb out. Eventually, they give up. They get discouraged, they give up, and they stay down. And then you put somebody brand new monkey into the same pen, and they start to climb out, and the other monkeys will pull them back and try and hold them back.
Interesting.
What we have to do in America—
Did you do that yourself, that test, or was that one you read about?
That's one I read about. Okay. Yeah.
It's interesting, though.
I was a minor in psychology, you know.
Wow, and you're still a logical thinker. I love this.
Yeah, my dad was an industrial psychologist. That's before they called it human resources. And then he became a stockbroker, and he used all his psychology jujitsu tricks to help people invest and prosper when they invested. But nevertheless, the notion then is, in our school system, we're, if they come and go through our school system, we eventually tell them you can't get out, yeah. and that's a serious problem.
Yeah, it's the old motivational, I think, with Zig Ziglar. If you want to be successful, surround yourself with successful people. You know, it's who you surround yourself that determines your attitude and how you, your outlook in life and so forth. And unfortunately, our schools, our culture, our movies, everything out there is preaching a message that isn't necessarily about goodness and success and trusting God and the things that this country was built upon.
No, it's the message is, it's unfair. You're not going to get your fair share. The rich are getting too much. You don't deserve, you know, you would want to move to a country where you had the opportunity to become wealthy, mm-hmm. To advance your economic situation. But if you're constantly told that the rich control everything, they're not paying their fair share, instead of saying, I have opportunity, I'm going to build and do, like your brother-in-law did or like these Nigerian yeah. Christians did, you instead say, well, take from them and give to me.
Yeah.
And that is really the battle that we're seeing. So what role do we have? Older people know that. We've been around long enough to know that this really is a land of opportunity, and people have, you know, built enormous fortunes with good ideas and so forth. But we're going to have to teach the young people. So what role do we have to restore a country, a love of country, among young people? How do we do that?
Well, let me just go back to, I mean, my upbringing. I remember, you know, family members and so forth. We'd help each other out. We'd support each other. But then I also remember one family member that was going through a tough time, and we wanted to help him out financially. And he said, nope, I don't take handouts. You know, I work. I'm going to make this thing happen. And while we want to support each other, and there are times when, hey, man, that
I've needed help multiple yeah, times in my life.
And I've been at a tough time in one entrepreneurial thing where I remember my aunt sent me a note with $10 in it, and I was like, that changed my outlook. Just that little bit of hope is like, all right, people do care. I mean, the $10 wasn't significant, but the hope that it gave me, it's like, all right, I with God, I know things are happening, they're out there. And if you don't have that perspective in life, I can see where it feels hopeless. If you don't, yeah. you know, if you don't have God in your life, if you don't know that there's a plan for your life, a plan for good, not for evil, it's very easy to go to schools today and hear this thing of, well, this is bad, and you don't have a shot out there, and you know this mentality of your victim, if that's ingrained into you, that's the exact opposite of what was ingrained to me as a kid growing up, and yourself and others that you know are listening to this audience. It's so important what parents share out there.
Yeah, and well, and the history that's been told on this nation, you know, for the first time in history, 249 years ago, and we'll soon have our 250th birthday, rulers were rejected. It was we the people in order to form a more perfect union. We're 1 year from our 250th birthday. Most great civilizations end at 250 years or thereabouts, and we've done a whole show on this and how do we prevent that. And so, you know, we've got to deal with that. And part of it, they usually end when people get, hey, it's not fair to me, and I want to, I think Alexander Fraser Tytler, a Scottish economist, wrote in 1776, 250 years ago, great civilizations last about 250 years. They end when people realize they can vote themselves largesse out of the public treasury. In other words, you've got something, government should take it from you, and then I should get my piece of it, my fair share.
We're not seeing that happen today, are we?
No, gosh.
I mean, what's our budget right now? What did it grow? You're always the predictor of gloom. You're the one telling me, okay, it's going to be this many trillion next month or next year.
We're over 37 trillion now.
Yeah.
It's frightening. But the history of America wasn't always so. We saw opportunity. We didn't demand largesse out of the public treasury. I mean, we've added $5 trillion in the past 2 years. There was a period in our lifetimes when the total debt was under $5 trillion. Mm-hmm. I mean, actually, at the beginning of the century, we were right in that, and you know, we were between $5 and $10 trillion in total debt. Here's another thing: slavery. Slavery is a part of our history. It's very wrong. But guess what? We ended it in America, and the seeds for its ending were written in the Declaration of Independence mm-hmm. and in the Constitution. Our founders, from some of them slaveholders, they were terrible in that area. But they realized this is wrong, and they put the seeds for the destruction of slavery in the Constitution, in the Declaration of Independence. Unfortunately, young people have been taught Howard Zinn and the 1619 Project that just talks about how evil people are and America has been. But the keys for liberty, they're found in Jesus' teachings. He talks about liberty. He came to set at liberty those who were oppressed. He talks about giving personal handouts and help, not government controlled. Mm-hmm. So if you see somebody that's poor, that needs your help, you should help them. He who gives to the poor lends to the Lord, and the Lord will repay him. Socialism is about taking from somebody and giving it to somebody else. That's antithetical to the teachings of Jesus, which said you should be a cheerful and a willing giver. We're failing because we're not giving, and the church is failing because it's abdicated responsibility to the government that doesn't belong there. It is not. The proper role of government is to protect rights, not to guarantee equality.
And we've seen the government take the church out of it. So where you had churches working in communities to make a difference, and different administrations, everyone's a little bit different there, but we saw an orchestrated attempt to say, no, church can't do it, the government does it. And that's, again, out of that socialist communist playbook.
It is, and they've captured young people, which is sad. We're going to have to deal with that. One of the ways, though, to solve this wealth gap problem, we need to create equal opportunity. Unfortunately, our money system has created inequality and taken away opportunity because of inflation. But we need to remember the importance of money. Luke 16:11, Jesus said this. These are the words. They're in red in your Bible. Therefore, if you've not been faithful in unrighteous mammon, who will commit to your trust the true riches? In other words, if we want liberty, if we want equality, if we want all those things, we're going to have to get the money part right. Now, there are only three things you can do with your money. You can give it, you can spend it, you can invest it. Here at Pirate Money Radio, we work to explain solutions that support all three areas in a way that promotes liberty, security, and values. Those are true riches. Patriot Mobile, it's a mobile phone company. It supports the Pirate Money Radio program. Patriot Mobile uses U.S. carriers, including AT&T, Verizon, and T-Mobile. They operate on both Apple and Android phones. More information about the Economic War Room, where we cover a lot of these topics, and Patriot Mobile is available at piratemoneyradio.com/AFR. That's piratemoneyradio.com/AFR. We need to provide economic justice. Money is an important and integral part of that. And yeah, Mike, I want to talk about the role that pirate money can play in shrinking the wealth gap and solving that problem that we're facing. And we're going to have to do that. It really is one of our most important initiatives. It's why we even have the Pirate Money Radio program, is to let people know about the opportunities that are there. You can learn more about this at transactionalgold.com. It's a state-based initiative. I want to talk with you, Mike, when we get back.
Huge, huge breakthrough.
Oh, my. We will change the monetary system. And so when we hit our 250th birthday, maybe we can make young people proud again. All right, we'll cover all of this and more when we get back right after this break.
Pirate Money Radio, helping you give, spend, and invest in ways that align with liberty, security, and values. Welcome back with your host, Kevin Freeman.
Yeah, and we're having a great discussion with my amazing friend, Mike Carter, and we're talking about how young people are abandoning family, community, patriotism, embracing money as a value, and the Bible gives us the opposite. The Bible says that you got to get the money part right, the right attitude about money. You can't make that the number one goal of what you're shooting for if you want true riches. And I think everybody wants equal opportunity. I think everybody wants to be self-actualized and achieve and all that. Well, you don't get there until you get the money part right. And we as a society have kind of failed on getting the money part right. But we have this initiative, and it's had some great progress. We talk about it all the time on the program. But Mike, tell us about what it means to have pirate money, what that really means.
You know, we're really talking about economic liberty, economic freedom, money that holds its value, which is what our founders always had in mind when they formulated the Constitution. States can have their own legal tender as long as it's backed by gold and silver. We know they didn't like the fiat money. They'd seen what that had done to in other countries and wanted to make sure we were set on that. But we got away from that, much like we're getting away from our values today. We got away from those economic principles, and now we have this inflation and we have this huge wealth gap, and we're seeing, you know, those that are closest to the money printing having the most wealth, that top one half of 1%, while the rest of us are like, man, my money's not going as far as it used to
anymore.
It's
hard to be patriotic when you see the rich getting richer and your situation flatlined. And it's been that way since 1971.
And we've seen it since 71. It's been kind of a, if you look at the chart, it spikes very quickly from the now, to, from the time we went off the gold standard until now, a huge spike.
In inflation, debt, and all the bad things.
Yeah, but it was kind of slow. I mean, I remember my early days at Procter & Gamble, and we would go into grocery stores, we'd talk about what inflation meant in the 70s, and while we were changing the products around and so forth. And, you know, it was a little bit slow, but now when you see the erosion of up to 90%, 95% of your value gone in the dollar, it's like the boiling frog. It's like, oh my gosh, where's the money going? What's happening here? What we have with transactional gold and silver is we have five states now that have passed laws and been signed by the governor. In fact, July 10th, it'll be signed in Missouri. So we've got Texas just signed off. Governor Abbott was proud to see him take ownership of that this last Sunday on an X tweet. Florida, Arkansas, Louisiana, Missouri, some other states still in the works. But that's significant in that who would have guessed, Kevin, that, you know, within, we started 3 years ago first in Texas, and then we said, okay, well, let's expand the scope here. And we thought if we get one or two states, you know, that's going to be awesome and the word will get out. But to be sitting this early on with five states that have gold and silver recognized as legal tender, and not just gold and silver, but the electronic transaction of gold and silver as legal tender, where it's actually functional money, functional currency, God is doing something here, and it's powerful.
Five states representing $5.25 trillion of economic activity, the five states that you mentioned. Let's contrast that. You know, the number two economy in the United States, both in population and in economics, is the state of Texas. Number three is the state of Florida. You know, New York was number one for years. Now number one is California, then Texas, and it's the most populous state, California also. Then Texas, then Florida. But New York, the young people there have just given the lead in the Democrat nomination to a literal communist. He says he's a socialist, and you know, if he's listening to this program, I want him to define, because I hear his words and they sound like communist. They don't sound like, well, I'm just a Bernie Sanders. They're going even further than Bernie Sanders.
What was his name again?
I mispronounce it all the time. I say Mad Manny.
That's the name I wanted you to get to.
Mam Donnie. Yeah, because he's 33 years old. He wants to be the mayor of New York. He wants to end the police department in New York, and he wants to take over the grocery stores, which is communist. I mean, the way we beat the Soviet Union, we've covered this story before, is when Boris Yeltsin realized that our grocery stores had lots of food and choices on the shelf, and the Russian, he's realized
Houston,
communism
Texas.
Doesn't work. Yes.
Houston, Texas, I think it was a Randall store.
Yes.
Blown away by the selection we had, but communist grocery stores didn't have that.
Yeah, no, and so that's where New York is headed. They'll have empty grocery shelves because if they go to this communist approach and so forth, but that's what's taking young people towards away from being patriotic, and it's the money thing, and we got to get the money part right. And what you were just sharing, Mike, I want to just tell you, stay tuned to this program. We're going to give you a solution where you can get state authorized gold and silver as money to preserve your purchasing power, to pay your friends or your employees or get paid. You could be on your own personal gold standard. And all those charts, and we go back and watch the or listen to the episode we had with Dave Bratt, and you can watch it on a podcast at afr.net or piratemoneyradio.com if you want to learn more. When you go back, you'll see 1971 is when everything turned. That's when we left the gold standard. What if we gave you a personal optional gold standard at fair terms, not an exorbitant prices to buy gold or whatever, fair terms, and then you could spend that gold or silver as you wanted to, and you'd have a choice. You could switch between them. That's coming, and it's coming soon. So stay tuned to this program to learn how you can have your own personal gold-based money system. That's what we're talking about, economic justice. Now, our problem, Mike, is young people don't see economic justice, and they think the way to get it is to go for Mad Manny, whatever his name, in New York, and socialism, communism, Islam. I mean, he's very committed to his Islamic faith and beliefs. We'll see in New York what we're seeing in London.
Yes.
And other places. We don't want that. What we want is literal freedom.
Which is so, the deception there, it just stands out. I mean, you can look and see that this hasn't worked. It's failure. You can look at London and see what's happened in some of those no-go zones and so forth out there. But yet we're going to repeat it. That, what's the definition of
insanity?
Insanity, yeah.
Doing the same thing over and over again.
So we know this is going to fail, but you know what it does? It gets enough people that I can get some power, and then I don't really care what happens because I'm going to get my power.
Failed in Venezuela.
Yeah.
It's failed in Cuba. It's failed everywhere. Communism has been tried. Interestingly, in Venezuela, Hugo Chavez started with nothing, became very wealthy, so wealthy he left billions of dollars of inheritance to his daughter in a communist state, where he said, he railed against the wealthy people, so he made himself wealthy, and he took advantage of everybody else.
Yeah. And his daughter she's moved to a better country.
So what we need to do is we need to preserve freedom, and it's our responsibility. If you're listening to this program and you're in the older generations like Mike and I are, our responsibility is to pass it on to our children. Do we have that clip? Let's play Ronald Reagan on his thoughts on how we preserve freedom.
Our founding fathers here in this country brought about the only true revolution that has ever taken place in man's history. Every other revolution simply exchanged one set of rulers for another set of rulers. But only here did that little band of men so advanced beyond their time that the world has never seen their like since evolve the idea that you and I have within ourselves the God-given right and the ability to determine our own destiny. But freedom is never more than one generation away from extinction. We didn't pass it on to our children in the bloodstream. The only way they can inherit the freedom we have known is if we fight for it, protect it, defend it, and then hand it to them with the well-taught lessons of how they in their lifetime must do the same. And if you and I don't do this, then you and I may well spend our sunset years telling our children and our children's children what it once was like in America when men were free.
Thank you. Wow, that is so powerful, isn't it, Mike?
It is so true. And you know, listen to the sound quality on that. It sounds like it's from like the 1930s, but that was Reagan, the master communicator. What a powerful message that is so on track and unfortunately almost a self-fulfilling prophecy. And that's where we're at today.
Yeah, that was actually a speech given in 1961, which 61. Is the year I was born. And so maybe I sound like I'm from the 30s too,
yeah,
but...
All right.
You know,
that was a very young Reagan. I was thinking of the new Reagan when he was president. So I understand. We'll give the AV people a little break on that one.
Yeah, you know, I do think that the Reagan movie, that inspired patriotism.
Yeah.
And I love seeing that. And we've covered that here on Pirate Money Radio and Economic War Room. We covered it with John Voight, actually, as our guest, which was pretty cool.
And the Reagan movie was great, but again, you know, more people needed to see that, needed better distribution, you know, ultimately. And if you haven't seen it, I'd encourage people to go out and get it. Where if you're having a get-together with family sometime, that's a great movie with grandkids or your children to say, hey, let's look at what's happened back then and what's happening today.
Yeah, you know, the reality of it is motion pictures, movies, culture, those are important. So when Top Gun Maverick came out, people went out and got excited because it was a patriotic movie. You know, the original Top Gun was a patriotic movie in Reagan's day, and then we have Top Gun Maverick. But we lose a lot of that because our Hollywood seems to hate America at times, tends to be pro-China. Now, a lot of people don't want to get into politics, and a lot of Christians don't want to get into politics at all. And so they say, you know, let's just share the gospel. And I'll give you a quote from Bill Federer. The most important thing is to bring people to Christ. Would you agree with that?
Absolutely.
most important. But then he goes on and says, and the second most important thing is to preserve the freedom to do the most important thing. That's Bill Federer.
Well said. Well, I was just having a conversation with a young lady the other day about that. She says, well, there's powerful Christians in China and all these other countries, and I don't really think what the politics makes a difference out there. And this says it in the easiest way you can say it. You know, if you want to have that freedom to share what Christ is about, and they're doing that in these countries with censorship and so forth. To have the freedom to actually do that and make a difference, what's happened though is we have the freedom, and too many of us aren't doing it. We're like, oh, we'll just let that pastor do it, or we'll let somebody else do it, and I'm going to focus on my things over here.
You know, Voice of the Martyrs out of Bartlesville, Oklahoma, it's a wonderful ministry. My friends Jim and Peggy Dow ran that ministry for years. Fabulous people, and they would go and they would do amazing things, like they would drop out of airplanes Bibles and encouragement and access to information and stuff in places like Korea, North Korea. You know, recently South Korea just arrested a bunch of people that were putting Bibles on little boats that were going to get found, and they arrested them for doing that. Sharing the gospel. If you don't preserve the freedom to do the most important thing, you will lose the sharing of the gospel. Can God overcome that? Absolutely. But he's counting on us to do it. And the best thing we can do is preserve freedom. And how do we preserve freedom? We pass it to the next generation, just like President Reagan said. We teach people patriotism. Why this nation, the good, the bad, and the ugly, and sometimes the beautiful. And that's what this nation is about. We've made mistakes. We need to be patriotic. We're under attack in this nation, but we have solutions, and we're going to run through all of those solutions when we come back. We're going to take a break, and we'll have the best solutions to be patriotic.
Pirate Money Radio, helping you give, spend, and invest in ways that align with liberty, security, and values. Welcome back with your host, Kevin Freeman.
And we're having a great conversation with co-host Mike Carter. We're talking about the need for patriotism. We've covered that at length, how young people have been focused on money. Part of the problem is we've not given them opportunity. And so we have to, and pirate money helps with that. But talking some other solutions, I've got some very practical things from our friends, in most part, that we can implement, learn about, pass on, and so forth. And I want to start with our good friend, Dr. Ben Carson.
Ah, good man. Good man. Been here multiple times, and love what he's doing with this Little Patriots program.
So here's a kid that was failing in school as a young man. Didn't want to learn to read, didn't care about anything, felt like he should get his handouts and everything, and his mother came along and said no. She studied the wealthy people instead of saying the top 1%, let's take what they've got. You know what she took away when she was cleaning the houses? This uneducated woman who couldn't even read, cleaning all these houses. What did she take out of those homes of the very wealthy people that paid her?
That they all had lots of books. They had libraries.
Yeah, what she took away wasn't anything. She took an idea.
Yeah.
And that is, these people read, they have big libraries, and so if you want to be like them, maybe you should read. Instead of, they've got too much, I need to take mine. So she goes home to her kids. One became a rocket scientist, and the other becomes a brain surgeon, and probably the most famous brain surgeon in the world. He was also the Secretary of Housing and Urban Development. He is a great American statesman. The name Dr. Ben Carson, and so what does he do? He creates Little Patriots.
Yeah, let's go back to that family life that he had. If his mom had a victim mentality, that brain surgeon would never become the brain surgeon. The rocket scientist would never become the rocket scientist. She wasn't able to read. She was never given an education to read, but she didn't let that hold her back. And in fact, she kind of used that to her advantage and told the kids, I'm going to teach you to read and write these reports. They didn't know she couldn't read,
yeah.
But that she kept them accountable, taught them about hard work and success, and look at what happened today.
So. Yep, and Dr. Carson is a brilliant, amazing guy. And, you know, the world would be poorer had he not learned to read. There would be people who would have died where he had the only hands, the gifted hands, that were able to save their lives and separate co-joined twins at the head. Mm-hmm. I mean, he has an amazing life story. But Little Patriots is, and you can learn more at littlepatriotslearning.com, has books and materials and videos where your children, grandchildren can learn patriotism. And they've got a book out, Why America Matters, at American Cornerstone Institute, and you can learn more about that at americancornerstone.org.
Yeah, just looking at the website now, I mean, I've not been on in a while, but you know, he's got these fun characters, he's making patriotism look fun. If you can make that fun and help kids learn, that's how you shift culture.
Absolutely. And so he has a famous phrase, we would not be the land of the free unless we were also the home of the brave. Yeah. And it's there have been a lot of sacrifices from soldiers and first responders and others to preserve this nation. And a lot of good patriots have gone before us. And he's one of my favorite patriots. Mm-hmm. He's certainly an amazing guy. So that's a solution one, a little patriot. Solution number two, you know, there was this thing 50 years ago on the 200th anniversary, which I recall in 1976, where John Wayne had the epic Freedom Train idea, and it was a train that went across the country. And I remember my parents taking me out to see that. We had to go see it. And it looks like they're going to try and reprise that. This is from theblaze.com, May 3rd, 2025. Ross Rowland, who spearheaded the American Freedom Train effort as a young man, recently told me how Wayne came to have the idea. Rowland had run away from home in the 50s and fortuitously ended up working as a groundskeeper for Wayne. The Duke befriended Rowland and eventually convinced him to return home. Rowland, whose father, grandfather, and great-grandfather had all been railroad men, had success on Wall Street and then commemorated the centennial of the 1869 Golden Spike, the completion of the Transcontinental Railroad. So basically, John Wayne talked this guy into doing a freedom train that would go around the country and celebrate the patriotism of America. That freedom train can come back. It could hit the tracks in 2026. Rob Gardner, president of the American Steam Railroad, told me the sister engine of a locomotive that pulled the train during the bicentennial is being restored and will be ready for action. So look for that. Look for the Freedom Train. Look for any opportunity to take your kids and grandkids and show them some of the good American history, some of the things we can be proud of.
Yeah. You know, it's interesting. I was at church this weekend, and the pastor there was in Sweden, and they were raising money to build a new church, and then they felt God tell them, you know what? Russia's going to fall. You got to get the message out to Russia. You need to raise $5 million, basically, $5 million U.S. dollars. They didn't know how they were going to do it. Short end of it, they raised the money because they were faithful to God, and they got a gentleman that was part of the KGB that used this train to spread communism throughout Russia. And he's like, I don't know why I'm telling you this, but this is the train that we use to spread our message, and if you want to get the word out, I'm not necessarily a believer, but if you want to get the word out about what you guys are preaching here about God, he goes, this is the train you should be on. And so they had access to a train that traveled all through Russia. And when they would stop, they'd hand out Bibles. If they couldn't stop, they'd throw Bibles out the window and people would meet the train and rush and grab those Bibles to get the word of God. And it changed lives. So this Freedom Train,
that's
well,
a
it seems
good
like,
idea,
what's
isn't
going
it?
On?
It's a good idea. All right. So number three, cover Charlie Kirk. Dear friend, he's been in the economic war room. I converse with him mm-hmm. weekly. Turning Point USA has done a pretty good job of rallying truth and liberty and God's word yes. on college campuses. And they actually, America Fest is actually a combination. It's a Christian event, it's a patriotic event, both. And we've attended America Fest and really loved it. So, you know, there's good groups out there reaching young people like Turning Point USA.
Yeah.
You can learn more at tpusa.com.
That's a bright spot, and he was here in Denton at a campus that's very liberal. We've spoken there before and seen all communist stuff on the walls and everything else, and he goes there and rallies thousands of students and gets this message out. Again, great example of stepping out and making sure the message is heard.
Yep, absolutely. And here's another one, Patriot Academy with Rick Green. I was just recently there in their Fredericksburg facility that's just built out. What they do is they teach young people how politics works. And so they get to go in there and sit through model as if they were a part of the legislature. And so many of their graduates have gone into state legislatures, and we've run into a bunch
yes,
of them.
Yep.
And they say, we believe in the Constitution. we believe in biblical principles, and that's how part of how we got pirate money passed in those five states we talked about earlier was because we had good Patriot Academy grads there, and you can learn more at patriotacademy.com.
Great way to learn about our history, the Constitution. He's got unbelievable facilities there. It's powerful.
And where did he learn his history and Constitution from? How about David Barton and Wall Builders, number five? David Barton teaches a lot about the true history, and he doesn't hide the bad stuff. But he points out the good stuff also.
You know, David Barton, typically when I'm watching videos sometimes, I'm like, I need to speed this up so I can catch it. David's the one where he's talked so fast, downloading so much information. It's like, I got to slow this down so
yes,
I can catch it.
David talks fast. Rick Green talks fast too. But David Barton, Wall Builders, you can learn more at wallbuilders.com. These are great resources. You can pass, do what Reagan told us. Freedom is only one generation away from extinction. We have to pass it on to the next generation, and we're giving you resources that you can do that. How about churches? How come churches aren't paid? I went to a Asbury church in Tulsa. It used to be a Methodist church. They've broken away, but we had a great celebration of freedom. They had a big concert there, but most churches aren't doing anything to celebrate the 4th of July 200, but here's a group, Liberty Pastors with Paul Blair. They're teaching churches. They're giving pastors sermons they can use, and they're training pastors to understand the fight we're in. It's an existential fight for liberty. You can learn more about them at libertypastorsu.com. Libertypastorsu.com.
I went to one of those events, and it was one of the most powerful things I've seen in terms of equipping, educating pastors to understand what liberty really is, what happened to this country, and what their role is in making sure that we maintain the freedoms that we have out there.
You know, I've been, you or I have been to just about every Liberty Pastors event that they've had. They've got one coming up in August in Williamsburg, Colonial Williamsburg. I'm really looking forward to being at that one. But that is a great resource. It's one we featured here. And both the Economic War Room and Pirate Money Radio, and they've been a big supporter. They understand the importance of transactional gold and silver, that you learn more about at transactionalgold.com. We call it pirate money. All right, number seven, Nick Adams. Nick Adams is an Australian. He was the Michael J. Fox of, I think it was Sydney, and he was the deputy mayor. Maybe he was mayor. I mean, he's a brilliant politician. He said, my opportunity is better in America, and he loves America because, and President Trump has seen him, you know, endorsed his books, and, you know, you'll see him all over on.
Another example that somebody came here legally because they realized the opportunity that exists and says, you people don't realize what you're messing up right now.
Yep, absolutely. So NickAdamsUSA.com to learn more. NickAdamsUSA.com to learn more. And of course, we mentioned earlier, Bill Federer, who has American Minute. So you find, learn more at AmericanMinute.com. He's the guy who said the most important thing is to bring people to Christ, and the second most important thing is to preserve the freedom to do the most important thing. And American Minute, every day, they've got stories of the history, the proud history of this nation, and where you can learn, you know, the good, the bad, the ugly, and the beautiful, at AmericanMinute.com.
He's a great storyteller, though. He makes this stuff come to life. I mean, what you think, well, it's history, it's going to be kind of boring, but he does a super job of telling the story behind the story on this stuff.
Go back to the AFR.net. Go back and find the podcast that we have done with Bill Federer on Pirate Money Radio. Look, we're going to have honest conversations. We're going to have to talk about the problems, but also the opportunities. But we must reignite the flame for America and pass it on. If you have questions or comments, you should email us at afr@piratemoneyradio.com and pray. Pray for our nation. Pray for America to return to God's principles. There's a role for pirate money to level the playing field. Listen wherever you get podcasts, Apple, Spotify, and so forth. It's Kevin Freeman and Mike Carter for Pirate Money Radio.